Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Junk Time AFL Podcast for Round 5 2023. We are coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who is highly critical of Gather Round. It is Adam Rosenbarks.
G'day, Michael. G'day, Junk Timers. Yes, everyone has been resoundingly positive about the Gather Round festivities that took place in Adelaide over the weekend. And they're even to the point where they have committed to having Gather Round in Adelaide for the next 3 years.
Yeah.
And I just look at it and I go, how on earth did both the AFL and the South Australian government reach that decision? Mm-hmm. I mean, from what I saw, just a huge, absolute wasted and missed opportunity from both entities. For starters, you get everyone going over there and they only had 9 games of footy in one place in one weekend. And I just say to you, what were people doing Saturday morning? There were no games. There was no games. If you came out of a nightclub at Friday, say 1 a.m., you've staggered out. You've been booted out of the Crazy Horse on Hindley Street. You couldn't go and watch a game of football, Michael. And to that, I say to you, for the next 3 years of Gather Round, I think what they need is 3 rounds pushed into one. So you have 27 games of football over 5 days. And so therefore you have buys either side of it. So the players are ready for it. They know it's coming. So round 4, you have that off. Round 6, you have that off. And they're all punched in to the one weekend. So you might have, say, Richmond, say Carlton and Adelaide start and they play the first half of their game, but they don't play the last half of that game until late on a Sunday night. Okay. So you have games, and you're like, well, Carlton 6 goals down in this one, but they're going to go play Collingwood in Norwood now.
So by the logic, like maybe like, you know, it could be like Collingwood's like 2 games clear on top of the ladder on Saturday night, but we never know what's going to happen on Sunday night.
Exactly, Michael, and I just think much more fun, and that way you can go, well, I'm going to see the start of the Carlton game on the Thursday, then I'm going to go out to, say, Port Augusta and go do some deep sea fishing or, diving with sharks and stuff. And then I'm going to come back for the second half of that game, which is on Monday night at Mount Barker. You know, there's just a lot more scope. I just think that they just didn't tap into it enough. And they called it a festival of footy. And when I fucking party, I party hard and I don't want to sleep. And I just think that, you know, some of the areas around Adelaide are known for their meth. Let's get that involved. Hit people here. Here's a free little baggie. You start on Thursday. You won't even see the one thing that people complained about, Michael, was how expensive accommodation was. Now, if you don't go to sleep, you don't need accommodation. You hear me? Hear what I'm saying,
you
brother?
You just need a shopping bag to carry around, you know, a jacket for nighttime.
Perhaps as a part of the kind of the festival sort of thing they have alongside the Torrens next to the ground, you have some showers set up for people who maybe you know, need a shower or two after day two. But beyond that, I reckon you just need some portaloos, some showers, a little baggie of meth, and it is party time in Adelaide. And I tell you, when we're all gathering round as we're fucking crushing up those rocks, it is going to be what people want to be there for. And that way, you get, and I'm in it for the next 3 years.
Yep.
If that's what it's going to be.
Yeah, sure, I'm there for that. If they bring the Rosenbarks adaptments to the gather round.
They talk about, you know, wanting to make money for the economy. And what better way to bring money into the, and this goes because they're asking for a global reach, right? When you know that there's going to be shipments coming in from South America, from China, you know, with precursors coming in for years ahead of the rounds, you know,
and also,
like people
I mean,
people in China are starting to, you know, plan to move precursors in for the 2025 gather round. You know, they're just trying to get ahead of the game.
Yeah, and also you think about it, it's a cash economy too. That's the good thing about it. Like, there's no need to worry the tax man about it. Got money, spend money.
I just think it's an opportunity. Like, I know they're doing really well at the moment, but I tell you, there is scope for greater money to be made. We're just trying to help out the South Australian economy.
Hey, so you were there for the Wednesday? Were you there on the Tuesday as well, or?
No, so flew in on the Wednesday.
Yep. Now, were you on one of the kind of party planes? Because there was like a couple of articles about, there was an article about the Blues going over there. And like a bunch of supporters were on the plane. And then also like Kuda got on the intercom and did an interview with Jack Silvani. Like,
yes.
Which would be fucking, I mean, you know, I don't think we have too many audio problems on this podcast. But like, imagine the fucking audio problems on a fucking plane intercom with Kuda talking to... what's that? The
Sauce.
Sablaki Hut former owner. But
so I did. I flew over on the Wednesday.
Take
so
us through your entire gatherout experience, because you were the man on the ground. You did have to come back on the Thursday morning, I imagine.
Yes, I did.
But you got
I
a taste.
So
of it. You
we
got
were
a taste.
Doing. I did get a great taste of it. So we went over on the Wednesday because the front bar was doing a live show from the McGarry Room at the Adelaide Oval.
Yep.
Fantastic. I will get to that. So we were flying over on the Wednesday, had a midday flight, which of course, being Virgin, got delayed for an hour.
They didn't, you know, pay a little extra to fly Bonza by any chance? Or?
There was a Bonza plane out on the tarmac that you could see from the Virgin Lounge. And you're just like, I don't want to fly a comedy airline.
No,
I'm sorry.
No.
It just doesn't
feel back in the day, like, I actually didn't mind Tiger. Like, I actually didn't mind it by the fact that you do a flight for, like, 50, 60 bucks. And I don't, you know, a flight, you know, Melbourne, Sydney, whatever. And I was fine with that. You know, I don't need much from a flight. But there's something about Bonza. I think it's purely the name and the way it's painted, the plane's painted. I'm just like... I think that if you're walking up the steps, because you're going to be walking up the steps, there's no little tube connected to the door.
No, that's a good point.
If you're walking on the tarmac towards a Bonza plane, I think you really have to start considering your life choices and how it came to this place.
And also, as you're walking up the stairs and you see that the B is also a thumbs up.
Oh, is it?
Thumb up,
oh,
and that's
dude.
The B. And you're like, oh, great. Okay. They're giving you a final thumbs up. As you, hey, it's going to be okay, mate. We're going to be all right. That's not what you want to see as you're getting on the plane. So when I got into the lounge, so the only reason I got in there was because Sam Pang was, he's up the front of the plane. And so he managed to get me into the Virgin Lounge.
Yep.
And so I went in there, and one of the first person I saw in there was Kuda.
Oh,
and
okay.
So I said g'day to Kuda, and he was sitting with Navy Nina.
And oh, really?
So got
so
yeah,
in,
got
in full costume?
No, she wasn't. She kind of she was demasked. So I don't know. I could maybe. It's like meeting Bruce Wayne.
I feel like that's almost like kind of
sacrilege.
A little bit, yeah. A bit like kind of like you know, kind of. Must kind of avert your eyes kind of thing. Kind of.
Well, yeah, maybe I know Kuda, and obviously I think he was the first guest we ever had on this show.
I think
show,
he was,
right?
Actually. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We had an interview with him way back in the archives.
Yeah, so we said to Kuda, oh, you're going over, and he's like, oh, yeah, we're going over on a chartered flight with the fans, and I'm hosting it. And we were like, oh, yeah, how's that going to go? And he's like, yeah, I don't know. He didn't look real confident as to what – he was hoping we were going to be on his flight.
Yeah, sure.
Because I think that was he was hoping that, you know, the boys might be able to do some heavy lifting
for
him.
Yep, yep, yep.
And they were like, no, it's a different flight. And he's like, oh, okay, I've got to interview some of the players. So again, like you said, they had to do the interview on the intercom over the plane.
Because any plane shit, like, I mean, every now and then, mate, like, there's like the one that sticks in my head was like a kind of, what do you call it?
Comedy?
No, like, oh, I mean, there have been gigs where people have done, are you going to tell me you've done one of these gigs? But...
No, I've never done the stand-up on the
intercom. Stand-up on the intercom sounds fucking horrible.
So the idea too that you go, okay, the whole plane can hear you, but yeah. about half a dozen people can see you. Oh, so okay. the rest of them are just like, I want to read my fucking book.
Yeah.
I want to watch whatever I'm watching. I don't want to hear this shit that I can't see.
And then also on top of that, like it has to be pre-announced. Like we are going on a flight and there are people who are yes. going to do stand-up. Yeah. But from my understanding, like it's been like surprise. Dude, don't get me started. Fucking a few years ago. And full credit to them, good on them, they're lovely people. But it was like a comedy festival promotion with the public transport in Melbourne, right? And literally.
Sounds bad already.
Dude, there's footage of it online and it's like how this happened. It was like comedians getting on a tram with like a little,
with a little
microphone kind of, you know, little sound system yeah. thing and fucking yeah. starting doing stand up. And it's like, oh my God.
Did you do that?
No, I didn't do that. I've just seen it. And I'm having fucking Vietnam flashbacks for the poor souls that actually did that, who I'm sure got, you know, paid and all that blah, blah. But it was like, whoever thought, that's a thing. Everyone thinks you can just fucking throw stand-up into something. Like every fucking,
yes.
all these shows I've fucking worked on in the past. And like, anyway, so then we kind of go into a backyard and there's a guy doing stand-up. It's like, no, we're not doing that. That's horrible.
No, but also if you're going to do stand up on a tram, I want you to do the one that goes down Smith Street out to Bundoora.
No, I reckon you do that.
Out to La Trobe Uni.
I think it's the 57. I think that goes through North Melbourne. That's one that you kind of try doing that at 5:30 PM on a Thursday.
That's the one that's scary. So you left Kuta, met Nina, and just kind of went, you know, good luck with that. This is going to be fun.
Yep.
And so then I was going to have some footballers in real life later on, but basically I was in the lounge with all the Carlton squad on their way over to Adelaide. Sure. They flew over on the Wednesday, and I saw Ed Curno. Now, I know Ed pretty well, so I went over, had a chat with him, really lovely bloke, and said to him, you're on that chartered flight with the fans. So it was the Carlton players and Carlton supporters mm-hmm. going over on this one plane, a special thing. And he's like, oh, are we? And I'm like, and I said, I go, how do you not know this, mate? I go, I know this, that you're on a plane with fans. And he goes, I don't know. He goes, maybe they told us. I don't really listen in meetings. So I was like, oh, great. So they basically flew over. And you imagine, as a player, you know, they are very happy to get photos with fans
yeah.
and to spend a moment on their way away from the support.
While they can they can keep walking. I'm walking by.
On the training track, yeah. selfie, keep going,
yep.
get away from them.
Yep.
What they don't really want is to be stuck next to one.
Locked in a box, 30,000 feet yes. in the air, with the guy leaning over into the middle seat, complaining about their disposals in round three.
yeah, exactly. You know what would have been more fun is had they flown back with the fans on Friday, because then you go, and you know what they should have done then to really give the players a full experience is to give the fans then
uh-huh.
the intercom. to let them know what they thought of the flight on the way, what they thought of the game on the way back.
Well, they come through, the fans serve the food, so they get to like row through and they go, nah, you played shit, nothing for you. No yeah. drinks, yeah. no orange juice. Oh,
yeah, I'd give this to you, but you'd probably fucking drop it.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, Mitch McGovern, you made the flight, did you? You didn't make the team because your little calf got all tight. But, oh, look at you. You're on the flight, accepting free shit.
Hey, co-pilot, can you just get on air and just quickly say the pilot's had a heart attack and there could be some trouble from now on? Just give him a bit of nerve. So upon landing,
so we get into Adelaide. We filmed a bit of a sketch that we were putting together for the show that night, and then we just went straight to Adelaide Oval. Now we were staying at the Oval, the hotel that they've set up right at Adelaide Oval,
okay.
which is absolutely just beautiful.
I mean, whenever I go to Adelaide, I choose to stay at the Oval. Did you stay at the Oval?
Oh, absolutely. The Oval Hotel.
Anyone from the Oval listening for when we want to come to Adelaide?
Yeah, our good friends at the Oval. So we stayed there. So basically, you can stay there. I wasn't in one of the good rooms that can overlook the ground. I was looking over King William Street,
mm-hmm.
King William Road. But it's really nice and you're basically there. And so we were filming the show at Adelaide Oval. So we basically stayed there, filmed the show there, and, you know, went to bed. So it was fantastic. I had about 2 hours in between when we arrived to when we had to start rehearsal. And so I went wandering around the city, just sort of like the lower end, Hindley Street over King William Road and stuff, and got to see the live site from the, obviously went to the Mecca, to the footbridge.
Obviously.
Check that out.
Genuflect.
And they were setting up the live site, so you could see how it was going to be really fun. People could go down there. They were setting up the zip line wasn't set up across the Torrens at that point. But again, why the fuck would you do that?
Yeah, you would have cut it down. Bridge. It's probably better for them that it wasn't up by the fact you just would have got a chainsaw and just cut it down.
Yeah, just bolt cutters just straight into that thing and just go, what are you doing? There's a footbridge right there, and this is sacrilege, you people. You disgust me. So they were setting up that live site, and it actually looked like it was going to be fantastic.
Yep.
So it would have been a lot of fun. And then we did the show, and it was one of the best ones we've done. The Adelaide fans were fantastic. We had Tony Modra on the show, and they went bananas for him.
Yep.
And it was just kind of, South Australian football royalty. And we showed some really good clips from McGarry Medal and all that kind of stuff. And it was a really great night. And I reckon you could just feel the energy in the city building when we were there on the Wednesday. And I imagine by the time Carlton and Adelaide kicked off on Thursday night, it would have been humming in Adelaide.
Yep. It actually looked awesome. Like, I actually watched a bunch of the news reports and stuff like that. I mean, Chompers was there for the whole time. The Today Show went there. And it was very funny. There was one bit I saw on the news, and it was, I think it was the opening of the Today Show on the Friday morning. And they're like, g'day, welcome to the Today Show. And then they kind of very seriously, kind of quickly go into Cyclone Ilsa.
Ilsa, yeah.
And all the while, there's a bloke in the background holding up a big oversized picture of Tex Walker's head. But it looked nuts. I mean, it wasn't without its dark side, obviously, Adam. There was one actually horrible moment at Norwood Oval, which is a very cute ground, Norwood Oval. I've been there before.
It's great, isn't it?
A horrible moment during the Gold Coast and Frio. And this is actually maybe something the South Australian government can get ready for next year and the following few years to gather around, is that they it's actually hard to say, but they actually had a shortage of frothies.
How they could even think about signing them up for another 3 years without, like, how the fuck do you run out of beer?
I know. It actually gets me a bit emotional, but the Premier of South Australia, like, I think he should step down, I must say.
Stand down?
Yeah, he should step down.
I hear that.
Look, we've done Gather Round, but we've cocked this up. You know, we've had a year to, a bit under a year to prep it. And then they say the bar lines at the Nord Oval, like, for like half an hour long, people were saying they were thirsty. People literally were talking to the press and saying they were thirsty. But we can't see that. I mean, we often talk about the darkest day of Australian sport, but I think that might be it when they had a shortage of frothies at Norwood Oval for the Frio. Well, for the blockbuster Frio Gold Coast Suns game.
It sullies the weekend.
Yeah.
Like, you just, how can you ever, in an Australian venue or event, ever run out of beer? Just because, you know what, if you buy too much, you're going to be able to sell it at some point, because Australians are full-blown alcoholics, and we will move those units at some point.
Yeah, it leaves a bad taste.
No one's ever had an event and gone, oh, mate, there's so much beer and it's all going off. We've got all this beer that's just gone off. It's never happened. You've never heard of that.
Yeah, it leaves a bad taste in your mouth, and that's what the beer's meant to do, leave a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah, it's very disappointing. But it was a fun weekend, and I've got to say, being able to have it on, you know, just checking out. And you know what? Those local grounds had a really nice feel to them as
they
well.
They
were kind of fun to watch.
Mm, yeah. And I imagine they want to kind of expand. I think they want to do one in the Barossa in the upcoming years. And then maybe they move around kind of country, South Australia in the upcoming years as well. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it's a really good idea. But you know what people should be gathering around this weekend is our last week of comedy festival shows,
Comedy
Michael.
Festival! Take us through details, Adam, of your show that I'm going to come and see tonight. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come along. Junk Timers. This will be out by then. I'm going to come along. Let's gather around Wednesday night. Adam's show.
Yeah, that would be great. So I've got five more shows to go. We're recording this on the Wednesday. I'm at 8:10 p.m. at the Cooper's Inn. Friday and Saturday night are really close to selling out. So if you are thinking of coming along, Junk Timers, tonight, Thursday night and Sunday nights are probably going to be the ones where the tickets are most available. And I would love to see you there. Of course, don't forget you can get your discount with the code LOWDOG, all one word, lowercase.
Sweet. And I'm going to be at the Cooper's Inn 4 p.m. on a Saturday. Michael Chamberlain's Completely Incomplete History of Australian Rules. And you know what? Actually, I think my dad might be coming this Saturday.
Here we go.
We haven't seen each other for 45 years. But it's kind of funny by the fact that it's a show about the history of Australian rules. And it's like my dad gets lost very quickly. Like he likes documentaries about the royal family and World War II, like, you know, but you put him in front of something and he's like lost in 5 seconds, just like, who's that? What? and that's not like an age thing, like that's been all my life. Like, you know, he'll go to a movie and then just be like, I don't know what happened. But then like he's
a simpleton is what I'm hearing.
Well, no, that's the thing though. Like then like a couple of years ago he said to me, I think I found a clause in the statute that nulls and voids every rental deal in the state of Victoria. So he can do that.
Yeah, right.
But he can't follow along a plot. But it's actually funny by the fact that he'll, you know, be able to understand. And I guarantee you after the show, he'll have fact-check notes for me. He'll be like, actually, in fact, Tom Wells did this. And I guarantee he'll have fact-checks.
Well, that's great that your dad's coming along. My dad came along on Sunday, and I don't really get stuck into him during this show. So it's good that our family members have supported us through our journey.
Yeah. Hey, Chad Wingard had
Good lordy.
Yeah. Actually, he bit his tongue. He had to go to hospital. A lacerated tongue is the term that was used.
Yeah, he had to have surgery on his tongue. So basically, he copped the hip to the bottom of the jaw. Oh, but obviously clamped down.
Proper surgery, do you mean? Or was it like just a few stitches? Or like proper, like, put you under or...
Yeah, I think proper put you under surgery God. Kind of stuff. Yeah, yeah. Like, he really bit through it because he doesn't wear a mouth guard.
Oh,
so
okay. Oh, come on,
he
kids.
Just went... I know. He just went straight through the tongue. So the hip went up into the into the chin, into his mouth. Yeah. And that would be like he couldn't even eat salt and vinegar chips. That's how bad.
Oh, dude.
You got to feel for him.
Even every now and then, like say like if you kind of nick your finger or something like that. And
oh, man.
And I mean, I got a paper cut recently, but I didn't realize I had a paper cut. Only until I put sanitizer on my hand. I was like, motherfucker. But imagine
you
that.
You realize
yeah.
You're alive.
Dude, eating salt and vinegar with a lacerated tongue. Oh, my God. Actually, that's full on. I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often that people don't bite their tongue. There are two things I'm surprised about in football, and these are the only two things. I'm surprised people don't bite their tongue more often, and I'm surprised people don't get hit in a very delicate area for gentlemen more often.
Yeah, well, occasionally you do see the ruptured testicle, don't you? But it's pretty rare, considering how much you're going in and flailing your body about. Yeah. And, you know, you can't control what other people are doing. But I reckon the tongue thing, like, unless you're one of those people who does a little, you know, Michael Jordan tongue pokey out of you kind of thing.
Yeah.
I reckon mostly you would keep it within the realms of your teeth.
I bit my tongue once playing when I was about 18 and genuinely had a cut on my tongue for like about 3 weeks, I reckon, and was like kind of spitting blood kind of thing. Like not like, you know, a litre of blood, but it was like I'd never done it either, like bitten my tongue like that, and it was from a bump. And I was like, well, I don't know if this is like a really serious thing that I've just done.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm like, God, am I going to, like, not be able to taste shit? Like, because it was it was a decent cut. And, like, walking around just kind of going, like, and then also going, like, do I go off the, like, I'm spitting, I am spitting blood. Like, do I go off the ground because I've cut my tongue? Like, what do I tell the coach? Like, what do I do? I was a bit kind of bemused by it all.
And so what happened in the end? Like, how long did it... Because it would heal pretty quickly because of the saliva in your mouth,
I suppose,
right?
So, yeah. But it definitely had a chunk. I should look at my tongue and see if I've got a scar, a battle scar.
Like, did they... Because at that lower level, did they come out and put, like, you know, you just fill your mouth with magic spray?
Yeah, sure. No, they gave me the... the
club towel.
No, what do they call it? The little pipe you blow on? The morphine?
The whistle.
The whistle. They gave me the
whistle.
They gave me the whistle. And you know, actually, I got carried off in a stretcher, and got carried, and then on the way off the field, my tongue gave a little thumbs up.
You gave a thumbs up, and everyone thought, "Fuck, he's flying with Bonzo."
Hey, you saw an interesting article about a reporter who spent some time with the cheer squads over the gather round.
Yeah, so there was a reporter for the Herald Sun, Matt Turner, and he spent. Because he could access every game and every team, he hung out with all the cheer squads across the weekend. Yep. And a couple of little things caught my eye. Firstly, and this is one thing that I was actually going to bring up a few weeks ago that's kind of, I find it quite annoying now.
Yep.
And Carlton, one of the teams that are guilty of it, but also turns out the Port Adelaide do it as well, is we're taking a fucking drum into the game.
Oh, okay.
And that just, oh my God, when did we become the fucking drum team?
Yeah,
when was that sanctioned? When did the AFL go, yep, of course you can bring a drum into the ground. It's so fucking annoying that we kick a goal and it's like, dun, 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 dun. You're like, oh, we're that team.
Well, it seems to be
like, there's nothing we can do about it.
It feels like a lot of clubs are adopting the drum for the entrance of the clubs. They've grown exponentially in the last couple of years. So there's
were the Tigers the first to do that?
I imagine so. Like, they're the ones that noticed them, but also I suppose they noticed them more by the fact, you know, they've been in a few grand finals where you kind of probably pay more attention to the entrance of the club than you do to home and away games. But there's a lot of flames going around when teams come out nowadays, and a lot of kind of...
See, I don't mind that for entries and you know, even the lights buzzing on and off, you kind of go, oh, it's annoying, but I can cope with it. But just the idea that the cheer squad get to go, hey, this is what we do. And I guess, is it GWS or Gold Coast that has the trumpets?
I feel like that would be, surely that would be
GWS,
just kind of connection to their song, you know?
Yeah, to the Cat Empire. So we're a drum team. The Port Adelaide guy, he said he'd connected. The guy was an electrician, so he's made it so when he hits the drum, it fucking lights up. So all the Port fans would be like, oh, fuck, look at that. Do it again. Oh, do it again. Oh. And then they do that for hours on end, and they're just entertained whether they're winning or losing.
Does it light up blue, or does it just light up white? Or
from the picture, it looked like it lit up teal, mate.
Really? Wait.
Yeah.
Oh, so wait, you still talking about Carlton, or are you still talking about Port?
Oh, no, Port.
Oh,
Port's
sorry.
Lights up. Carlton's just a fucking standard drum.
Oh, okay,
we
gotcha.
We don't light up.
Gotcha.
We don't need
sorry,
that.
I got confused for a second. I was thinking about...
It's Port Adelaide fans.
Sorry,
I was still
flashing back to when I hurt my tongue. It was a very tough time in my life.
But another thing that caught my eye about the cheer squads was the Richmond cheer squad. So there is a guy called Bruce Curran, and he... Okay, so in 2007, he started wearing four jumpers to the game and would take one off each quarter. Okay, yeah, that's weird enough as it is. But since 2017, he's been wearing the jumper of every selected player.
Oh.
And removing one every time the Tigers kick a goal.
Fucking hell. Now, big boy or like a slight man?
There is not a picture. There's no picture of him.
Okay.
So say you're going to wear 22 plus 23 with the sub. You got 23 jumpers on. Do you have like four that are small? Or say five that are small, five that are large, five that are XL, five that are double XL, so you at least aren't strangling yourself. Because if you've got 23 fucking jumpers on, I put it to you, Michael.
Yeah.
You are not going to be able to fucking breathe.
Yeah.
You're probably going to black out from heat exhaustion at some point. Like, you're going to cook yourself.
And also, you probably wouldn't be able to move your arms to kind of be able to take those jumpers off. Like, you'd have to be cut out of it by a paramedic or something.
Yeah, and pretty rare that you're going to get most of those jumpers off. Like, you know, and that's just the way of the modern game.
Yeah.
I'm not picking on Richmond here.
No, no.
But you're not really, you're rarely kicking above 16 goals in a game.
Yeah, you're going home on the train with like another like 12 jumpers on.
And so unless he has, say he doesn't have family, he's just going home. Does he have like a fucking hooks it up to something and has to drag him? Like, how does he get them off?
And then also on top of that, like, these jumpers aren't cheap. Like, I don't know what let's go and look on the Richmond website right now. Okay. Let's find out what a jumper would look, goes for. I'm going to say a Richmond jumper goes for 120. What do you reckon?
Oh, That's exactly exactly what I was going to say. Okay. I reckon 120.
Let's
sounds
go
about right.
Shop. Okay, got the Anzac Day, Guernsey on the go here. Richmond.
Yep.
Men's home, Guernsey. 129.95.
Okay.
So all these kind of cheer squad, they're like, you know, we're battlers, you know, we're the salt,
yeah.
We're the salt of the earth, you know.
That's what I would have thought.
You know, and then there's this fucking dude, okay, what, 40-odd people on a list, so he's got to make preparations in terms of like, you know, anyone can get a game. So this fucking dude's dropping fucking $130 on a jumper for $5,000 a year, okay?
Yeah.
And
no, but having said that, right, so say you're a Tigers fan and you don't have many jumpers and you see this fuckwit who's got 22 on in the train. Fucking, he's copping a little fucking wooshka and you're just, and people just swiping his jumpers.
You're $5,000 richer.
Yeah, it's just like a moving free coat rack.
You just walk into the pubs going, oh, mate, it's, you want another 23 for Richmond that just fell off the back of a truck. Worn once.
Worn once. I couldn't give him any body shots because it absorbed the blows. But I doubt the veracity of this story, that he, every game, is donning 22 Guernseys.
Hey, in that article about the cheer squads, I probably shouldn't ask this in case there actually is, but any quotes from Catman in there that they they found they could print?
So do they have to, are they capped cheer squads? Is there 80 of them, one in, one out? Is that kind of thing?
That's actually a good question. I'm actually quite fascinated also, like, the organisation of who gets to go interstate, you know, and is that provided by the club? I mean, the club wants a banner, so are they flown over there?
It doesn't seem to be. The ones that I could read, because there was a couple of Essendon ones who didn't want to stay there because the accommodation was too high.
Yep.
Obviously, didn't get the free bag of meth that would be handed out.
Yep.
But they said they flew in and out on the day. So it sounds like they have to fund it themselves.
Gotcha.
But at the end of the article, it had, there were three key cheer squad rules, which there should be four. One of them is no throwing balls that land in the crowd at umpires. So if the ball comes in, you can't throw it at the umpire.
Okay. That's the golden rule. Okay.
Yep. No alcohol in the cheer squad area, so
that's
no froffy. So
very
it would
interesting.
Have been an issue
yeah, wow.
at Norwood. And banners cannot reference opposition players.
Huh. Huh. They're actually all good rules, I must say, when you think about them.
Yeah. I mean, and the fourth one was you must be slightly fucking weird and people wouldn't want to sit next to you at a dinner party.
Yeah, sure. It's, the fifth rule, I think, is must be able to apply own makeup to replicate the image of a cat.
Yes.
Hey, footballers in real life, Adam?
Hey, just before we get there to footballers in real life, I love this. Whenever a player talks about a teammate of his, it's really, you know, kind of on the fringe or is about to break it open.
Yep.
How many, a question without notice.
Okay.
How many players in one team can there be that are last off the track, Michael? Like, are there players who are still training at 3:30 in the morning because they go, man, I'm not coming off the track because he's still out there and I need to be the last off the track. Like, can you have 44 blokes who are last off the track?
And they're trying to, like, push each other off the, up the gate. It's like, nah, you go. Gentlemen first.
Yes, yeah, like you kick a ball down the race so they chase it off. He goes, he's off the track.
They're trying to trick each other.
Because so many players that you hear about are first on, last off.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder what the process is. Like, can you kind of just, if you're training, do you then go, look, I'm going to just go run laps for another hour? Like, do the club, do they kind of get you off the ground? Just go, no, don't do that. Like, in terms of maintaining loads and stuff.
Yeah, isn't that the thing that, you know, the science took over and they were telling players that they couldn't have, you know, more like 50 shots at goal after training had finished you know, you could hurt your little fucking hip flexors.
Yep. Work smarter, not harder.
Yeah, that's what they say. But anyway, in my football career, I was last on, first off, and I was renowned for that.
Hey, let's before we head off, we got our comedy festival shows. Do not forget that. You can go to Try Booking for both Adam and my shows. They are going to be spectacular, but also you can use the code LOWDOG, promotional code LOWDOG, one word, to score yourself a discount. But you've got a football in real life, haven't you?
Oh, no, that was going to be my...
The Blues at the airport. So we got actually a bit of a thing from Larry, because we were talking, I think it was last week, we were talking about where
the
you go to buy your school uniform. Yeah, of course, the Rort. that the Cochin family are running up with selling socks to their local school. So we have one from Larry. It's not a footballer in real life, but Quinton Lynch owned and ran the only school uniform shop for Aquinas College in WA.
So if you're the only one for a college, you are, I mean, that's a license to print money. Because as you know too, you know what also you'd, where you'd make your money is on button replacement. Because remember, it was a really fun thing at school to just fucking rip someone's buttons off. Did you ever do that? Or someone would just fucking rip your pocket off and you'd be like, well, that's fucked up, mate. You can't do that.
I think Aquinas is a fairly hoity-toity one. I feel like my school only had one, but it might have been one supplier, but maybe with two shops, if I remember correctly. Yep. So, but yeah, again, we were fascinated by how you get that contract, how it works, but also on top of that, like, because, you know, people, they're fucking expensive, that shit. And then also, kids grow so quickly. And it's just like, fuck, man.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Like, if I had a child, like, and they came to me, like, I need new shoes, I'm like, I bought you a pair, like, a year ago. Like, fucking do what your dad does and just deal with it. From Adrian, I'm in Adelaide this week where there's a thing called Gather Round happening. You may have heard of it. Anyway, this morning on my way to breakfast, I realised I was walking behind some Bulldogs players, Lob Jamara, friend of the show, and some guy I didn't recognise. They ended up in the same cafe with me. They were talking about someone's wedding plans going awry and also about a basketball comp they're organising. Lob is very, very, very tall. They ordered takeaway coffee and left, even though other teammates were still in the cafe. Lob, I think, is 207 centimetres, I think. What's that? 6'11".
Fucking... Yeah, that's massive, isn't it?
Yeah, impractical.
But also, fuck, I want to know about the wedding.
I'm actually wondering about whose wedding that is, because also, I'm going to presume it's not a player by the fact that probably wouldn't be getting married during the season, unless they're doing like a cheapo Friday, Monday wedding or something like that.
Oh, what happens if you had a Thursday night game down the track and you organise it for a Sunday? Oh, yeah, but the players can't have fun.
Yeah.
No, you're not doing that.
Yeah.
You're not a mad motherfucker.
Yeah. Save it for next year when they have a game at the Barossa Valley. Then the players just get married during Gather Round as well. Celebration. Celebration.
Great. Just have Gather Round Celebration Round at the Barossa.
From Luke, Russ Lyon spotted meandering toward the North Port Hotel in Port Melbourne on a lazy Tuesday afternoon. I had to look twice. It appears Ross has the initials printed on his backpack. So in the picture Luke sent us, Ross has like a St Kilda backpack, which appeared to have his initials printed on them, which I think is fair enough.
I think that is common across the board that they all do that. But can I just say, to say that Ross was spotted meandering, perfect. That Ross Lyon does not walk. He meanders, he moseys.
Yeah.
He sachets. He doesn't walk. That's a very... well picked up thing there, Luke. Thank you.
And I also like because the pick, and we don't encourage taking the pick, but also, you know, if it's innocuous, we don't want to, you know, get involved in a, you know, front page of the Herald Sun of a pick that got sent to us of, you know, ketamine in the action. But
especially not if you're coming to our shows this weekend. No pictures after the show.
But I like the idea of Ross, 50-something-year-old man, like wearing the backpack and not just like the one strap over the back, like wearing, committing to the whole backpack. I find that very cute.
Yeah, both.
Now, what's the pub? Is it the Lord Newry or something that Ross has an interest in? Is it something like that?
Yeah, I think it's the Lord Newry, which is just around the corner from me. And also, I think he might be involved in the Union Club Hotel in Fitzroy as well.
Yeah, gotcha. Gotcha. Did you see when St Kilda came back against the Pies and they, you know, probably looked a bit more exciting than what it was by the fact they came back with about five goals very quickly and, you know, you kind of put your head up and you go, oh, shit, it's actually close. But with, I think it was 38 seconds left, Saints kicked it into the forward line. It got marked by the Pies. Then they cut to Ross in the box and he was laughing and was like, that is not the Ross line that we have grown up with.
It's weird when your world changes like that, isn't it? You just got to take a second to look at it and go, I don't know who to trust anymore.
Yeah.
Because I need to know that Ross Lyon wants to kill someone at every moment of his life.
At all times.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And to see him smiling when someone has turned the ball over. It's... Or is it a smile of like, oh, fuck, I'm about to destroy a young man's life.
He's just like looking forward to the post game. It's a bit like,
yes,
and this,
yeah.
this has never happened in my life, but say it was like, you know, if my dad got into a fight, like a road rage fight with like yep. another guy and my dad lost, and you'd be like, you'd be like, oh, I don't really respect you anymore.
Yeah,
yeah. Hey, we're going to hit the road. We are Junk Time Alpha Pod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the gram. Go Hawkers.
Go gather round.
We Brisbane Bears had to start from scratch. We fight real hard to win every match.
We're the high-flying bombers from Windy Hill. We're the toughest, we're the team we're gonna kill.
Listen up, guys, because Richmond's here, and we're the only team that you should fear.
The black and gold ain't where it's at. The Blues are the team that'll knock them all flat.
Stop your boasting, the Saints have arrived. You'll all be sorry when we make the five.
Y'all may be tough, but have no fear. It's Collingwood's turn for the flag this year.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.